we need enforcement. And so as we move forward on this, before we move forward on this, we will come back to you in the city council with how we will address that. It is illegal to ride your bike on the sidewalk in most places downtown. You've raised the issue appropriately so, and we'll get back to you with a within the next 3 weeks with a thoughtful plan on how to do that enforcement.
Thank you.
So I just want to, I'm still hearing a little bit of shades of difference here. Steve, you're saying we haven't decided what model in terms of who pays for operating costs. I'm trying to get in a commitment from Dan that we're not paying operating costs. So is this all up in the air still?
No, Commissioner, I think that the question that I understood from Commissioner Fritz was who would own the system. And what I was saying was that there are a lot of different models in terms of whether the city would actually contract out, own the system and then contract out the operation of that system, or whether the city would just have essentially a fee-for-service contract where we would pick a vendor and then that vendor would operate the system and own the system. So that was, to me, that was where I was saying that we have not decided on a model and are looking for the RFP respondents to show us their different business plans and then make the determination of which is accurate. In any situation, the operating costs would be borne and the responsibility of the vendor.
The losses would be borne by the vendor.
Correct.
Employees would be employed by the vendor.
Correct.
Okay. Maybe I'm misunderstanding something here, but I'm reading the actual resolution. Maybe that's where I'm getting confused, because it says that we nominate four projects. Right. And I thought you were asked and then answered. The next step in the process would require an RFP, assuming that these projects are approved by Metro, okay, that the council would then weigh in on.
Yes.
So we're not deciding today what to do other than to nominate four projects that may or may not be approved, the next step being that you would have to come back to us with a detailed plan that we could weigh in on at that time as to whether or not we supported various aspects or not. Did I understand that right?
Yep. Okay. Mayor Adams.
Commissioner Fish. Question and a comment. Question just goes to the process with JPAC and Metro. We nominate. Let's assume that our nominations are approved by Metro. Put out an RFP, and it turns out a year or two from now, the bike share world is turned upside down and no one responds for whatever reason. And it just as a transportation tool, it no longer works. So what would happen to the allocation for this purpose? And what's the mechanism for reallocating it in that unlikely scenario?
Right. JPAC, the Joint Policy Advisory Committee on Transportation, would amend the list, if you will, if something like that happened a year or two from now. There have been occasions that has happened, and those funds are redirected by the recipient. So since the City of Portland would be the recipient of these funds, if they're voted in December by JPAC, then we would have the latitude to substitute another project.
I see. So stay with us. And the second is just a comment. Oh, sorry, Mayor.
Well, just to also clarify, in the past, on all four of these potential projects, once it gets out of JPAC and the funds are available before they're actually awarded, I just want you to know that we would be pursuing, subject to council approval, early funding for advancing local money early for all of these projects. And we've done that before. The life saved in East Portland, again, this is with the federal funding. We want to move forward quickly on that as possible. So I just want you to know that it is possible for us once the federal government signs off and they have the money and it's just going through the process that we would advance the money to get the work done early. On the locally funded projects that are subject to your amendment, those would move forward even quicker.
And also I just want to comment, if I could, Mayor, on something Commissioner Fritz said, because I really appreciated her support for the Sullivan Gulch Trail project. And so, yes, in a perfect world, I would like $1.25 million, even if we knew we couldn't spend it in the next year or two. But the reality is this is going to get phased, and there are some very complicated negotiations which have to be resolved for us to make too much progress here. If the stars line up and the $500,000 is insufficient, then it is clearly within my prerogative to come back to council in a bump or through the normal budget process and to seek additional funding, as is it is within our power at the Bureau, both bureaus, to seek additional grant money or other dollars that would be available. So this would not prevent us from moving ahead on the current timeline. I think it does reflect the reality of some complications we have to work through, so in terms of phasing, but we will at some point need more money, and we will come back at the appropriate time.
Any additional initial questions? They'll stick around. All right. Next on the list that I'm working from is Catherine. Who is it?
Jennifer Elliott. And Carla.
Yeah.
Oh, Carla, you have. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeff Swanson and Corky Collier.
Okay. And then Randy Miller. We have four now, so we can do four at a time. So you can do four at a time, Carla.
So we have Jeff Swanson, Corky Collier, Randy Miller, sorry, and how about Jennifer Elliott?
Is Corky yes. here, Mr. Collier?
He was here. I think he had to leave.
Okay. Please begin.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Elliott, and I'm the Vice President of Marketing at the Regents Group. Thank you for your time today, Council. There are several reasons why Regents would be potentially interested in sponsoring a bike share program. First, sustainability, building healthy communities, and supporting healthy lifestyles are all very close to the Regents' core cause and values, and all things that a bike share program would support in our community. So that's why the first reason why we're very interested in this program. Secondly, as one of the largest employers in downtown, a bike share program would provide healthy commuting options for our employees. And in addition, from more a business development and recruitment perspective, it I think having a bike share program reinforces the City of Portland brand as a vibrant and progressive and sustainable place in which to live and work and grow a business. In addition, as we saw in the video that Dan and others shared, another Blues plan, just to clarify, it's not Regents, but another Blue Cross Blue Shield licensee in Minnesota had a great success. And we've had conversations and gotten some insight from them that was very positive around the public-private partnership with the Nice Ride program in Minnesota. So thank you.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right. I'm Jeff Swanson. I'm the vice chair of the Portland Freight Committee. Corky extends his regrets. He had another event he had to leave for. The Portland Freight Committee underwent a long, thoughtful process and derived three high-quality projects and then ranked them in order of preference based on the green economy freight mobility criteria set forth by Metro. The project attaining the top ranking is on a key route connecting Highway 30 to Rivergate, to the Industrial District and to Interstate 5, and affects the freight movement of port facilities, Evraz Oregon Steel Mills, Northwest Pipe, Northwest Container, Schnitzer Steel, and several other businesses in that area. The number of good projects that to be done in the area, I think clearly demonstrates a need for greater and more consistent funding specifically for freight projects. What's not in the priority criteria is a collaboration with other modes and communities. It was important to the Portland Freight Committee to discuss our options with the St. John's community representatives and with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. Our recommendation, should be noted, will also add 2 6-foot-wide bike lanes at this important connection point, Time Oil Burgard, which connects the St. John's community to the Smith-Bybee Lakes system. And it'll also mesh nicely with some other projects that are designed to remove trucks from North Fessenden Street in the St. John's area. So for these reasons, as well as the freight needs, we ask for your support of the Burgard project. Thank you.
Mr. Miller?
Thanks. Randy Miller. I'm a local Portland resident here. I'm here to also support the bike sharing initiative. I think the presentation was really complete. I don't think there's really more to add in terms of what the benefits and consequences of what they can due to impact positively this community. But there are just a couple issues that I'd like to possibly expand, and mainly due to, as all of you know, I lead these best practice trips all over the world, and some of you have come on some of them. And we take a look at these communities because of their public policy decisions and where they've been and some of the achievements they've made, as well as some of the failures, so we can learn for public discussion as we bring them back here. And the interesting thing about looking at all the cities that have adopted this bike sharing, more so in Europe than here because they're relatively new here, but every single one of them have a huge degree of vibrancy in their downtown cores. And I think a part of it, I'm not sure if it's a chicken and egg kind of an example, but in some ways they're already attractive and they build this wonderful infrastructure to attract more, or whether or not some of them have built the bike sharing so that they can then attract. But all of them have had problems in the past, these cities, and yet they've been able to revive themselves into a tremendous community, which has then generated a lot of investment. And the private sector side, all this, I think, is absolutely essential. And hearing about the opportunity from Regents and others that are privately support this thing is clearly a great driver. And these other cities around the world that have adopted this have not only had investment like this, but huge development. Then they become more attractive. Then they attract more tourists. Then they have more of the multiplier effect. And it spends more and more dollar opportunity in the community. And frankly, we need the marketing opportunity here. Everybody's trying to catch up with Portland for a lot of these issues, particularly around cycling. And they are. And yet, if we can continue to market this community as having this bike sharing, we're going to attract more, and it's a great opportunity. The other thing was the health deal. Cycling's contagious, and a lot of the reason you're seeing it out here in expanded way is because as more do it, it attracts more people. And for the health element, and we all know all the health problems that exist in this country, it is probably the single most benefit in terms of a driver to get people off their butts and out exercising some way so that they can be able to help avoid a lot of the problems that healthcare and cannot seem to address relative to lifestyle. This makes it more easy. It makes more people ride. And I kind of see as we do this is that in this core area where you get adults riding it, it's going to impact the kids. And the kids is where we really need to focus. So if mom and dad are doing it because it's easy and they can ride around town this way, the kids are going to ride too. And so I see a huge benefit there as well. And you've got a partner in the Oregon Sports Authority who's been granting money to various programs around the city in an effort to try to do just that. So this thing can really expand tremendously. So I urge your support.
Thank you all very much.
Can I ask Ms. Elliott a question?
Yeah.
So I don't want to put you on the spot, but if you know these answers, is Regents considering a sponsorship in the nature of and contribution to operating costs?
Or what I can say at this point is after the RFP is issued and we see the form of what that sponsorship opportunity might look like, because we don't know yet, then we would determine where and at what level and if to support.
But sponsorship would be in the form of an annual contribution, not a one-time capital contribution.
Again,
I'm on the spot, but if
Until we see the RFP, I think we would consider either. I'm not sure what that right answer would look like yet until we see the actual business opportunity after the RFP. Sorry to be vague.
Yeah. And do you know in the Blue Cross in Minnesota what mm-hmm. the nature of their sponsorship is, both whether it's a annual contribution and how much? Do you have any idea?
I believe it's an annual contribution, and I'm going to look over my shoulder at my expert on that. Maureen, do you know the amount? Do we know the amount of the match? Oh. Annual match as well as startup costs, but I'm not sure the amounts.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you all very much. All right, next will be Christian Smith, Katie Larcel, and then call two people off the list. Start timing people.
Chris Smith and Steph Roth. Also, please come on up.
Welcome back. Glad you're here.
Yeah, this is great.
Christian, do you want to begin?
Who's first?
Mr. Smith.
I can go. Afternoon.
First, Mr. Smith.
Afternoon, Mayor Adams, council members. My name is Christian Smith. I'm the chair of the Foster Powell Neighborhood Association. And I want to thank you all for the opportunity to come down here and advocate on behalf of the package of improvements for Southeast Foster Road. And I would especially like to thank Mayor Adams and Commissioner Fritz for coming down to our Foster Road Town Hall event that Representative Cannon hosted for us last year at about this time. I may recall that we had a great turnout, stakeholders, elected officials, neighbors, and other folks who gathered together to begin to find a solution to the problem of traffic safety on Foster Road. Now, the conclusion to draw from that meeting was pretty clear, and that is that our neighbors envision a Foster Road where seniors, children, and everyone else can walk, bike, and take mass transit safely, easily, and efficiently. So the neighborhoods surrounding Foster Road are some of the most diverse and dynamic in the entire city. And the people who live and work in these neighborhoods care very much about the future direction of our community. And one of the most urgent and pressing concerns in our community is the high speeds and unsafe conditions created by the traffic that passes through our neighborhood every day. Major accidents on Foster Road are constantly in the news, but what the news doesn't include is the hundreds of close calls and near misses that are a part of everyday life in our area. And as the neighborhood continues to grow with more young families and more children, combined with even more traffic, the situation is only going to get more treacherous. So the money identified within this package of regional flexible funds, when combined with funding already identified from urban renewal, will make a real difference to pedestrians, bicycles, and motorists on Foster Road and in our neighborhoods. And thanks again for having me and letting me come down here and advocate for us again.
Thank you for your good work with the neighborhood. You've really been a great leader.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Yeah, that was a great forum.
Okay, I'll go next. My name is Katie Larcell, and I'm here to speak about the East Portland Active Transportation to Transit Project. And I'm speaking as one of the co-chairs of the East Portland Action Plan. And it's a joy to be here in front of council to praise such a solid East Portland project. And as you know, that when I say East Portland, I have a very exact definition of that, and that means not East Portland begins at 82nd Avenue. This project is a subset of the East Portland Active Transportation Plan, which you'll be seeing the whole of later this fall. And the elements you saw here are a balanced and positive improvements to East Portland. And when I say balance, it's because they involve better bicycling facilities, but also safety crossings and sidewalk infill that benefit pedestrians and transit riders. East Portland has a broad range of needs for safe, active transportation, and no one mode or constituency is put ahead of another here. And when the planners came out to East Portland and did their research, they convened at schools and at churches and key organizations like ERCO to make sure that they got a broad cross-section of East Portland residents who maybe wouldn't be found at a typical open house. And the planners heard about difficulties with cycling in East Portland, but they also heard about missing sidewalks and inaccessible bus stops from people who never cycle and who may never cycle. The result is that active transportation improvements in this plan became a mix of all three: cycling, walking, and crossing to transit. And then that is as it should be. The bicycle improvement that was the highest priority for the East Portland Action Plan Bicycling Subcommittee was the north-south route that's in this plan. And this cycling route, it's called a greenway, does multi-duty for cyclers, for walkers, and it actually just increases plain neighborliness in our neighborhoods. It calms and slows traffic and provides crossings for cyclists and walkers alike. It runs like a spine all the way down East Portland, and this greenway has two spurs that connect cyclists to the Green Line, a Division, and through neighborhoods to Gateway. And finally, I just want to say that that Division, all the improvements on Division, is like a safety makeover for that street. The safety crossings features, along with the infill sidewalks, will be a boon to transit riders who want to catch that frequent bus. It's the service number 4. During peak hours, it comes by every 5 minutes. That's a lot of people moving along that street. So thank you, and I also want to say that it makes me feel so good when I hear that all these different committees, like the Bicycle Advisory Committee, have put this project at the top of their list. They maybe don't live in East Portland, but they understand the problems, and it just, it, you know, makes me feel very good that that happens. Thank you.
Like you're part of a single city?
Exactly.
Thank you for your amazing advocacy. Being on the budget committee for my last proposed budget helped inform the work here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Commissioner Fish.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I'm actually going to defer my comments and recognize Chris Smith.
Thank you, Commissioner Fisher.
Thank you. Chris Smith, member of the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Although all the opinions you're going to hear today are my personal opinions, not in my role as a member of the Planning Commission. We're in an interesting place. As a community of active transportation advocates, we've been very used to being unified and usually arguing for our projects in competition with other projects that we think are not nearly so worthy. This is the first time I can recall where we've had a split within the active transportation community where potentially we were going to be taking pot shots at each other. And I hope that's not going to happen today, that we're all going to give the merits of our projects. And certainly I am strongly supportive of Commissioner Fish's amendment that would allow all of these to go forward, because there are no unworthy projects on this list. And it would be a shame if any of them didn't get to go forward. But since there are only four slots at Metro, we need to be creative, and I appreciate the creativity. I want to reflect a little bit about how we got to this place, because I think it's really incredibly good news when we look back. When I first became a neighborhood transportation advocate and then joined TPAC for a stint helping split up this money, the process was very different. We had nine buckets that flexible funds were allocated into. Bike and Ped were only two of those buckets. And very often jurisdictions submitted their proposals at a staff level, and there's not even any sunshine at the governing council level. So we have come a tremendous distance to have the sunshine, to have the focus be on active transportation, and I want to thank our mayor, who's been the Commissioner of Transportation for 6 years and has been a big part of making that transformation happen at the JPAC table. So it's kind of good news that we're here having this argument. And I am myself of conflicted loyalties. I'm the Planning Commission representative to both the Barber Concept Plan and to the Central City Transportation Plan effort. So I have horses in multiple camps here. But having said all that, I'm here today to advocate for the bike sharing system. Because I believe that, just as I believe that the Sullivan's Gulch Trail will be transformational, I believe that the bike sharing system will be transformational. And I'm advocating for this most strongly, not because it will increase bike mode share, which it will, not because it will improve our health, which it will, not because it will support tourism, which it will, but because I believe it is a vital investment for the health of our central city economy. To retain the position of our central city in the region as the key hub of economic activity, we believe we need to increase trips within and into the central city by about 50% over 20 years. That won't happen with cars. We believe auto traffic will stay about constant. So it's going to be principally transportation and cycling. And bike share is an easy way to pick up many of those increased trips within the central city. And as the system is phenomenally successful, as I am sure it will be, and we expand out to the neighborhoods, it will capture trips into the central city. So this is really a way of making our economic aspirations for the central city possible. And then as we go beyond that and continue to expand the system, it will be a key tool to make the 20-minute neighborhood concept workable and provide mobility within those healthy connected neighborhoods, as we're now saying in the Portland Plan discussion. So I urge you to support the amendment. I urge you to support the submission to Metro. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it, Commissioner.
Steph.
Sorry. Sorry, I apologize. I need more coffee this morning.
Me too. Hello, Mayor Adams, members of the council. My name is Stephanie Routh. I'm director of the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, and I fervently agree with Chris Smith that would love, because we all so overwhelmingly agree in the active transportation community and want to see everything funded. And to begin, I just want to thank Mayor Adams for all of his leadership over so many years. Especially the last few, for getting ARRA funding for sidewalks, for working on the development of a neighborhood greenway system. As a person who grew up in East Portland and rides a bike every day, it's incredible news, and also for local control of speeds. It's incredible. So thank you so much, and just to because I love stories. Last year, there was a grand opening on 130th and Gleason for the crosswalk and also the sidewalk infill, and it literally connects it. It bridges the generation gap, this crossing, and it has a Providence Elder Care on one side. It has Merlo Elementary School on the other side, and I had taught pedestrian safety education through Safe Routes to School the year before at Merlo, and had an incredibly difficult time finding a route to take kids on the second day because it's a really challenging area. And there was a poem created in red in on behalf of the sidewalks, and it's just a very exciting thing to hear. People in the elder care facility who were looking forward to volunteering more now that they could actually get to the elementary school. So these are the kinds of things that not just improve safety, but they connect communities and residents in a new way. And so so thank you, Mayor Adams. And just to say, we have before us five projects that will all promote active transportation. And we are only too keenly aware that there isn't enough funding. And if we weren't aware before, we certainly are reminded on days like today when we all agree and we're trying to find a way to fund it all. So I know a lot of work has gone into creating criteria for the Metro Regional Flexible Funds. Here it's improving access to and from priority destinations, improving crossing safety in these designated high crash corridors, and benefiting underserved communities in the many high density residential units near these major arterial streets. So East Portland and Foster Project do an incredibly great job of meeting these criteria, and I am excited to see these in the original proposed resolution. The Barber Boulevard demonstration construction project proposal also meets these criteria, and I would hope that they can be included with East Portland, Foster, and bike sharing, and would absolutely support a resolution that can bring money to additional funding to Barber and still retain the other three. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your great work on behalf of active transportation. Honored. All right. Next four
are Heidi Grunen, Marianne Fitzgerald, Roger Averbeck, and Jim McLaughlin. Sorry. Four.
Welcome. Welcome back. Glad you're here. Would you like to begin?
Sure. Go ahead. Good afternoon now. My name is Heidi Gannon. I'm the Transportation Policy Coordinator for Upstream Public Health, and I'm also a citizen member of TPAC. Want to echo Steph's thank you for all the hard work that's been done already to make biking and walking and accessing transit safer and easier throughout Portland. I'm also particularly grateful for Mayor Adams, your work on trying to understand the inequities in the city through the budget mapping exercise at the Office of Management and Finance. We're certainly using that in all the work that we're doing. All five of the projects that the city represented are going to promote better public health outcomes in Portland, and we would love to see all of them funded. Upstream will continue to work with other partners to advocate for bigger pots of funding and new pots of funding as much as we can. But fortunately, we do have the regional flexible funds. The top three criteria are safety and access, and that each project needs to serve underserved populations. And as we saw, we're hearing that Foster Powell and East Portland and Barber in particular meet those criteria very strongly, which is we support the amendment to try to fund all of those projects. Currently, the bike sharing proposal is a little weaker on those, but from the conversations we've had with staff, we're looking forward to the community engagement process that is planned in the future, and really that doesn't have to be weak, and we're really looking forward to making sure that the bike sharing program also promotes a safe and accessible and equitable transportation options for all of Portland. So we're asking that you do support the amendments that were put forward.
Thank you very much. Ms. Fitzgerald, welcome back.
Hi. My name is Marianne Fitzgerald. I'm the president of Southwest Neighborhoods, Inc., a coalition of 17 neighborhood associations covering Southwest Portland. The Board of Sweeney, 27 members, strongly supports the construction of improvements in the Barber Streetscape Plan. And I should mention that there are four current board members and two past presidents in the room today. In Mayor Adams' words, Metro's criteria are to support projects that prioritize infrastructure that creates a safe environment for all users and encourages walking, bicycling, and access to transit. The Barber Streetscape Plan, the East Portland Active Transportation to Transit Project, and the Foster Road Safety Improvements all meet these criteria, and the city's Pedestrian Advisory Committee agreed. Now, I just want to show you this map to remind you of our infrastructure needs citywide. These are the busy arterials that do not have sidewalks. These are not local streets. These are busy streets, and this doesn't even include Barber. We have over 50 streets that need sidewalks, and our bike lanes are so dangerous, the city does not have Sunday parkways in Southwest for that reason. And we believe that we need safety improvements that help build 20-minute neighborhoods and communities throughout the entire city, including Southwest Portland. So the Barber Streetscape Demonstration Project was adopted back in 1999. Commissioner Saltzman was on the City Council at the time. And it was in response to, you know, this is 2 decades that we've been looking for these improvements. And we've been waiting. We did get some stimulus funds for some sidewalks on Barber. We appreciate it. But this demonstration area is where there's a commercial node with senior citizens, with parks, with 3 schools, with frequent bus service, a Safeway store, a Fred Meyer store, lots of services that have all the ingredients of a 20-minute neighborhood except sidewalks and bike paths. And I was concerned even at the $2.25 million, how much we could get funded for that amount of money. And when I talked to PBOT staff in May, they said, oh, let's just put it in there and work out the details later. And so I'm looking forward to working out the details on that project. Now, the bike share program has never been brought to the attention of the Sweeney Board. We're not aware of any public meetings that were held to discuss it. And not a single resident in our 17 neighborhood associations brought it to the attention of our board or of our transportation committees. So we're just urging you to support the 20-minute neighborhood concept and improvements that deal with some of the infrastructure that we need citywide.
Ms. Fitzgerald, I wish we had a Marianne Fitzgerald in every part of town. And thank you for your advocacy. Could you give us a quick update on sort of decision-making in the neighborhood in terms of recommendation for use of the $8 plus $1 million?
Yes. Last October, we sent Ms. Keel a letter, and we prioritized Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3 projects. And Tier 1 are Southwest Barber, Southwest Capitol Highway, and the Red Electric Trail. Tier 2 are more neighborhood streets, including Huber, Multnomah Boulevard, Vermont, and Spring Garden, and Sunset. Now, each of these projects is really expensive because of the need for stormwater improvements, and that any improvements on any of these streets will also pay for stormwater improvements. So there's multiple benefits in the right-of-way, but they're really expensive. So we have submitted our priorities. So far, the only one that we know of that's funded is Multnomah Boulevard because of the sewer project underway. We're still in the middle of discussing what to do with the rest of the money.
Good. Thank you very much. Sir.
Hi, I'm Roger Aberbeck. I am a frequent bike commuter, also a bus commuter out on Barber Boulevard. I rode my bicycle today on Barber Boulevard to get to this hearing. I serve as a volunteer chair of Southwest Neighborhoods Transportation Committee. I'm also a volunteer member of both of the city's pedestrian and bicycle advisory committees. Although my comments today do not reflect any positions taken by those standing committees. As the mayor noted, Barber Boulevard is a high crash corridor. And I think most people in this room are probably familiar with the existing conditions out there. I'll mention, though, that there were 2 pedestrian fatalities resulting from vehicle crashes on Barber in 2010. As we know, it's a high-speed, high-volume arterial. Even though Barber may have less crashes, total numbers, it actually has a higher percentage of the other crash corridors in terms of turning and angle crashes, which often result in serious injuries. And that's partly due to the poor or lack of access management, the design of the driveways. And also as a result of the neighborhood street grid intersection, which aligns with Barbara at a high angle. So there are also many other deficiencies, long distance between safe crossings, bike lane gaps, sidewalk gaps, as we're well aware of. I think there is we all agree there is a clear and compelling need for safety improvements in this street segment, so I do appreciate the amendment that was offered today. I would like to just very politely and quickly disagree with the mayor's statement made on the evening news on Monday night that we shouldn't construct improvements on Barber because it might be torn out in the future, 12 to 15 years from now, due to high capacity transit for the following reasons. I'll be there as a volunteer member of the community working group on the Barber concept plan, and we know that future HCT high capacity transit modes and alignments, the station areas and funding are all very uncertain. And this Barber concept plan will actually be completed by 2013 prior to the funds being available through the Flex Funds project. And so it's likely that will inform those decisions. And then finally, an emerging ACT corridor really needs to be increasingly multimodal oriented prior to the actual construction of high capacity transit. So building that transit ridership, pedestrian and bicycle use now in the corridor is really an essential first step in creating a successful project. And so I appreciate your support for funding for improvements on Barber Boulevard.
Well, and also the manner in which Commissioner Fish put forward his amendment, I'm assured that the improvements we would put in would have a good useful life during the time that they're in, and a low likelihood that they would have to be dug up for any sort of high capacity transit. So the form of his amendment, I think, speaks to our mutual concern.
Thank you.
Sir.
I'm Jim McLaughlin. I'm the first vice president of Sweeney. I'm also the neighborhood association chair in Southwest Portland for the West Portland Park neighborhood. I want to address first Commissioner Fish. I want to thank you for the imagination shown in the amendment you proposed. At the same time, I want to suggest that there are some historical precedents here that you may not be aware of. I think Commissioner Saltzman is. He was on the council at the time. Back in December of 1999, in resolution 35848, the council adopted what is now the Barber Streetscape Plan. In that adoption, one of the resolutions, staff is directed to engage in activities aimed at implementing the improvements described in the streetscape plan and funding them. There it is, as the resolution. Sounds, other than the dollar amounts in your amendment, sounds almost identical to what happened. Your amendment sounds almost identical to what happened back in 1999. 12 and more years later, no funding. No improvements, no implementation. As I say, I love the idea of a concept you've come up with, but our experience has been that with respect to Barber, we get many, many promises. We get very little actual funding. And I'm concerned that given the funding sources identified in the amendment you proposed, and again, I love the idea of the amendment, but the funding sources are not concrete enough. We don't know what we're going to get, if anything. And it's a real concern. It sounds like a repetition of what happened 12 years ago.
And sir, let me say I was not on the council 12 years
ago. I know that. I made that point.
I appreciate that. I think what is different is the language you've alluded to was an admonition to staff to take certain actions. The mayor, at the beginning of council, made a commitment as the mayor and as the commissioner in charge of the bureau that this money would be identified and would be spent, and invited us all to hold him accountable on that. So that is a difference, but I take your admonition seriously.
I mean, it's a long-term trust issue. One other point in the context of the display that Ms. Fitzgerald put up on the arterial sidewalks, something really important for this council to consistently remember is that about 48% of the mileage of unsidewalked arterials, 48% of it in the city, slightly over 50 linear miles, is in Southwest. It's not with all respect to my friends in the East Side, it's not in East Portland. It's in Southwest, and it's been there in Southwest for many, many years. Appreciate the opportunity to address the council today. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony and your ongoing advocacy. We appreciate it very much. Next four.
Are David Hampston, Walt Leishitz, Terry Parker, and Ian Stude.
How many more are signed up?
Five more.
So one more panel. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome.
Good morning.
For those of you that are new. Would you like to go first, sir?
Yeah, I'll be happy to do so. Thank you very much. Good morning, City Commissioners. I am David Hampston, the EPAP representative to the PBOT Transportation Budget Committee. And a renter in East Portland who gets around entirely by transit or by bike, as I never learned to actually, I never learned how to drive.
Really?
Really. That's and I'm great. From North Dakota.
You and Bear Cats could.
Yeah?
I don't know.
What?
Ride the bus together. Commiserate. Take driving lessons. I don't know.
It's beyond me.
Sorry, sir. You get a
not at all.
Back up his time. Thank you.
I thank the PBOT staff for helping put together the East Portland in Motion report, which I believe you'll get in a month or two. As part of the East Portland Active Transportation to Transit projects, the 130's Greenway's significant piece of the East Portland in Motion. It directly connects to four elementary schools, a middle school, and the largest high school in Oregon. It creates a major north-south conduit of family-friendly bikeways and walkways, connecting to relatively frequent east-west transit services, including the Max Blue Line. It also connects a full cross-section of East Portland's population density with over 30,000 people within a half mile of the route, as well as the social and cultural diversity of our neighborhoods. The pedestrian islands along Division will enhance crossings along that busy expressway, especially for those trying to catch the bus or shop at local businesses. In fact, on a personal note, I think it's such a huge benefit getting the new crosswalks on Division that I would encourage you to support similar projects along Inner Foster in Southeast Portland and along Barber in Southwest Portland. As a previous TriMet director once remarked at a city transportation summit, the best transportation improvements are the ones that help pedestrians, bicyclists, and transit users all at the same time. And I thank you very much for your support on this project.
Thank you, sir. Sir?
Good morning, Council. My name is Walter Lersch. I would like to thank the Council for allowing the citizens' inputs. I'd like to thank PBOT for bringing these proposals forward. I am here to encourage the funding of the Portland Active Transportation to Transit Plan. As a longtime resident of Northeast Portland, living in the Hazelwood District for over 30 years, I personally see and experience these infrastructure deficiencies every day. I participate in the East Portland civic life by way of the East Portland Action Plan, the Sullivan's Gulch Citizens Advisory Council, and Eastminster Church. This weekend, I took one of my grandsons to the bridge pedal, and I wanted to pedal from my home near Halsey Street to the Max stop. And keeping in mind, I'm dealing with a 12-year-old who is just thoughts of safety and personal longevity have not yet just haven't reached him. And I had no good safe choices for getting him there. Now we worked our way through it. But it would have been much nicer if I had had some good, safe streets and safe paths to take with him. As a resident of the area, I have observed the regular increase over the years of the number of pedestrians in the area and the number of bicyclists. And this is without regard to season, whether it be the dead of winter with our rain or bright sunny days like today. There are just more and more bicyclists, more and more pedestrians, and just a great demand for improved transportation infrastructure in the community. As a member of Eastminster Church and our partnership with the Human Solutions, we have opened the Warming Center, so I am very familiar with this group of needy people who cars are just not something that they think of. You know, they get to where they need to go by walking, by public transportation, and in many instances, even bicycling. So I'd like to thank the council for this opportunity and encourage you to support our plan.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor Adams and City Council, my name is Ian Studi. I'm the Transportation Options Manager for Portland State University. I've been asked to speak on behalf of Portland State University to express our support for the inclusion of Portland Bike Sharing Program in the city's application for regional flexible funds. For the city's students, residents, employees, businesses, and visitors, bike sharing will provide affordable access to a healthy and clean and sustainable transportation choice within the central city, and hopefully beyond as the program grows. In much the same way that Portland took a bold and controversial step to invest in a light rail line that would transform the way we perceive transit, bike sharing has the potential to change the way we, as a city, think and interact with bicycling as a normal and accepted form of transportation. For Portland State University, as an urban institution with over 30,000 students and 4,000 employees, bike sharing has the potential to help minimize our impact on central city circulation while enhancing our connectivity to adjacent neighborhoods and destinations. In particular, it will provide PSU employees, students, and visitors with another sustainable option for traveling to and from the South Waterfront, where we are about to break ground on a collaborative development with OHSU. This project, known as the Collaborative Life Sciences Building, will have 40,000 square feet of teaching and research space for PSU students and faculty, including a 500-person lecture hall for undergraduate biology and chemistry classes. As you can probably imagine, this new development will generate a significant increase in the number of trips between the University District and South Waterfront. A Portland bike sharing program will play an important role in making sure that those trips are as healthy and carbon neutral as possible. Bike sharing also stands to make a significant contribution to PSU's efforts to reduce our carbon footprint and meet our recently adopted climate action plan, which calls for bicycle trips to and from the campus to grow from their current level of 12% to a minimum of 20% by 2030. In the past, PSU students and faculty have worked closely with the city to provide key research and data collection about Portland's innovative treatments, like the Broadway cycle track and bike boxes at intersections. As Portland's living laboratory, we welcome the opportunity to add Portland bike sharing to this list. For these reasons, we strongly support a successful application for regional flexible funds to help fund the capital costs of a bike sharing program, and we look forward to a network of public bikes available for the transportation needs of Portlanders and visitors to this great city. Thank you.
And congratulations on the opening of Electric Avenue.
Thank you very much.
I had that Eddie Grant, is that who it was? Song stuck in my head like a nightmare. Mr. Parker.
Yes, my name is Terry Parker, fourth-generation Portlander. I'm speaking on my own behalf today. Hardcore bicycle advocates want to showcase Portland as a world-class bicycle city. In reality, Portland has become a bicycle mayhem city where bicycles continually taunt motorists and display their defiance of traffic laws while wanting to dictate how roadway transportation dollars are spent. The current political approach is to routinely stack the deck with special interest representatives on city-controlled citizen advisory committees and then proclaim community support. Bicycling safety starts with the bicyclists themselves, wearing helmets and abiding by the rules of the road, not by blaming the motorists for everything. Portland officials like to boast that Portland is a sustainable city. Sustainability starts with financial self-sustainability. Providing bicycle infrastructure is not sustainable because providing specialized bicycle infrastructure does not include self-sustainable bicyclist-paid user fees. On the flip side, motorists pay the vast majority of the cost for roadway infrastructure. In addition to currently subsidizing other modes of transit through license and registration fees and with the road user taxes on motor fuels. Presently, any promotion that encourages driving less is in actuality reduces the overall amount of funding for available transportation projects. One of the reasons this country has such a large deficit problem is because of the special interest spending on social engineering programs, like bicycle sharing, that require ongoing expenditures and or do not pay their own way. Without appropriate rental fees and charges that would fully reimburse the upfront costs from the Federal Highway Trust Fund and elsewhere, the proposed ego-driven bicycle share program is not sustainable. In Portland, PBOT has a spending problem that is not sustainable. Motorists paid roadway dollars that should be used to maintain city streets are being siphoned off for streetcar frills, curb extensions that create artificial congestion, and yes, bicycle infrastructure. The city now has a huge backlog of needed street maintenance. Instead of spending what is sure to be a shrinking supply of federal dollars on yet another central city special interest program such as bike share, a more responsible and equitable distribution of these funds would be to use those same dollars citywide to construct sidewalks where they are truly needed, more of them, and pave unimproved streets that are long overdue for an overlay. In closing, equity requires that any bike share program needs to be financially self-sustainable before proceeding with such a venture, and that bicyclists should help pay for bicycle infrastructure directly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Parker. Thank you all very much. We appreciate your testimony.
Next four are Garrick Kransky, Mr. Simmons, Tom Putnam, and Dave Northfield.
And is that the end? Oh, I'm sorry, one more after that. Why don't we go ahead and have the fifth one pull a chair up? And we got that roving microphone.
Nate Gulley.
Nope.
He's declined.
All right, this will be our last panel. Welcome, sir. Would you like to begin?
Thank you for having me, Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Adam Simmons. I am the Vice Chair of the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Advisory Committee. And let me start with this. In December of 2009, a transportation task force determined how TIF funding would be used for projects in the Lentz URA. The 2003 Foster Road Plan was ranked as a Tier 1 priority. The task force did not make a recommendation on what elements of the Foster Road streetscape plan should be funded. There was a general consensus that both safety and aesthetics needed to be addressed for the health of the community and economic development. But based on overall recommendation, on the overall recommendation of the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Advisory Committee Transportation Task Force that was adopted by the Lentz Town Center Urban Renewal Advisory Committee, I can state that we wholeheartedly support promoting the Foster Road Safety Enhancement Project as a candidate for the regionable flexible funds, with the understanding that the total $3.25 million project gets us halfway to our goal, and that additional funding should be pursued to enhance and beautify the streetscape to make Foster Road look like what it is, a historic artery that is a crucial part of the City of Portland's transportation system. We generally support any improvements to our overall transportation system in East Portland and support the application of regional flexible funds towards the projects that help break down the barriers to walking, biking, and accessing transit in East Portland. We also support transportation projects that help keep individuals in our neighborhoods participating in local commerce and supporting economic health of our neighborhood, commercial centers, and corridors. Thank you.
Thank you. Well done. We really appreciate hearing from you and the great part of Portland that you live in. Garrick?
Mayor Adams, Portland City Commissioners, my name is Garrick Kransky. I'm the Advocacy Director with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to testify today in support of Resolution 871. I'd also like to express our support for the amendments put forward by Commissioner Fish. That sounds like a fantastic opportunity to move all of these projects in some way. Though it's clear as we make these decisions, there's not enough funding available for all of the crucial sidewalks, bike lanes, and transit stationary improvements we want to make. So being creative with our funding opportunities is the key. And I see that happening with that amendment, so I very much appreciate that. And I definitely want to call out my friend and colleague Jeff Swanson of the Portland Freight Committee for the hard work he has done reaching out to those of us who work on active transportation issues to reduce conflicts between freight and bikes. It's a really key ally we have there. Part of the reason the Bicycle Transportation Alliance is so excited about one project in particular, bike sharing, is because of the limited funding available. We see the opportunity to bring federal funds into the community matched with private investment as a great way to increase the amount of investment we're making as a city and increase safety for all users. As we've been having conversations with community partners, I'm very pleased to report that we have over 1,124 signatures of people who are very excited to see bike sharing come to Portland. Each of you should have that list in your inbox, as well as some very personalized comments from people who've had experiences in Paris, Washington, D.C., London, and elsewhere, really enjoying the system, really excited to see it here. Other conversations we've had include with community partners such as New Avenues for Youth, which is an at-risk job training partner in downtown that's very excited to see an equity component to the potential RFP released by PBOT and to be involved in some of the job training. We'd like that to happen. Excited to see their support, as well as the Portland Business Alliance, who signed on in support of bike sharing and is very excited about the increase in central city mobility without increasing congestion. Another supporter we have is Travel Portland, who is very excited to see this bike sharing program accessible to people who come to see the bike-friendly nature of Portland, be able to get on that bike, have that experience getting from point A to B, as well as the support of the Portland Metropolitan Building Owners and Managers Association, who's very interested in how the bike share stations are located downtown, but looking forward to the increase in foot traffic through our retail front doors associated with this program. We have a letter of support from OMSI, who's working with TriMet to ensure that there's an option for expansion of bike sharing along the new Portland-Milwaukee light rail line and the station that gets installed along that line at OMSI, as well as the support of several others, including Portland Streetcar, Lloyd District Transportation Management Association, and others. So standing with these partners, I'm very happy to be here encouraging you to support bike sharing in the city of Portland.
Thank you, Gary. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, commissioners, my name is Tom Putman, and I'm here today representing the Portland Sustainability Institute to share our support with Portland's proposed bike sharing program. Founded by the City of Portland and Portland State University, the Portland Sustainability Institute exists to develop and to drive next generation initiatives for urban sustainability. We strive to bring together the region's most influential sustainability leaders to identify, analyze, implement, and replicate scalable urban sustainability projects. The proposed bike sharing program is one of these next generation strategies. Over the past 2 years, POSI has collaborated and advocated with city staff and private businesses to bring bike sharing to Portland. From France, through our research, through programs in France, Australia, the UK, through cities, US cities like Washington, DC, Boston, Minneapolis, we've identified a number of benefits related to bike sharing. Clearly, transportation benefits are at the top of the list. Bike sharing systems create new options for short trips, enhance mobility around the city, and increase access to the city's existing transit service. A couple of significant figures of a review we did for programs in Barcelona, Paris, Lyon, London found an 8% decrease in auto trips through the bike sharing programs. More domestic-related programs like the Capital Bike Share Program, and 1,100 bike program, created 1 million bike trips within the first year of operation. These trips displaced or reduced gas consumption by 15,000 gallons and carbon emissions by 300,000 pounds. I think important, though, outside the transportation benefits are the economic benefits. And Commissioner Saltzman, I appreciate your questions early on. As we looked at the innovative financing strategies that we can bring to cities, kind of cash-strapped cities, what are the innovations of the future? Looking at the public-private partnership on the capital side of blending federal funds with private funds to be able to get the program off the ground, but then also looking to carry that partnership through the operational costs and looking for other underwriters or advertisement strategies to offset operational costs. But I also think something that has been mentioned is, depending on the model explored, are there potential upside or revenue opportunities for the City of Portland, depending on their partnership or level involvement with the program? And just as an example, the 20,000 bike Paris program earned over 30 million euros in its first year. It's about $40 million. And since operational costs were already covered by an advertisement contract, all that money went to the City of Paris. And so these innovations of looking at how do we pay for public services through infrastructure is something we have a passion for and look to support the City of Portland in finding these opportunities. Outside of that, people mentioned before job creation. The Paris program created about 400 full-time, part-time jobs. The DC program has created about 40 jobs. People mentioned earlier the public health benefits related to increased bicycling. And then the Portland brand. You know, how do we continue to push to be a leader? The Portland Sustainability Institute's here to help us continue to push, to find the best innovation strategies, experimentation, export strategies to benefit our businesses, our local institutions, and our residents, but then also to bring the best globally to the city. So we recommend your support on this proposal, and thank you.
And thanks to the Portland